We left off last week. We studied through the big first part of it anyway. And we got down through, we got down to idolatry, what had brought judgment upon Judah and all the other nations as well. I don't know if you have really thought about this or not. But as we get into this chapter today, chapter 2 especially, and Brother McKeel showed this to me the other week before I'd even gotten to chapter 2. I was still trying to finish up chapter 1 and got down to chapter 2. And you're going to see some things here that will just amaze you to see how close we must truly be to the Lord's return again. So we looked last week at all the things that had gone through and what God was doing. And today, being the 12th of November 2023, we want to start the second part. And we're going to begin here in Zephaniah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 7 through 13. And I want you to remember what brought about the judgment of God to the chosen people of God. What brought about God's judgment to these people? There were several things. The first thing I want you to see today was the idolatry of Judah. Their idolatry. They had gotten to the point, and we talked about this the other week, into syncretism. Syncretism was where they were bringing in the religions of all the heathen nations around them and mixing it into their worship with God. They had brought in worshiping of Baal and of Malcolm and Molech and all these other false gods, set up idols into the temple, the place where they were supposed to be worshiping God, and they brought in these wicked idols that they knew that they had no power within themselves. But we look at that and we see the idolatry of Judah, and then we see the social events of Judah. There were certain social events. Now today, social media, man, it seems like it rules the world, does it not? It just seems to rule the world. But I want us to look today at Zephaniah chapter number 1, and we're going to look here at verses 7 through 13. And God says something here. He has Zephaniah tell the people. He said, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate and an howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Moktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, a spoil." That's what that means. "And their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof." Now, Zephaniah stated that the nearing of the day of the Lord was at hand, referring to the days of their Babylonian captivity. And you got to remember, God was angry with them. They had rebuked the Lord. They had rebelled against the Lord. They had brought shame upon the name of the Lord God. Israel, Judah, was supposed to be the great witness of God among these people in this land of Canaan. And yet, all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan influenced the people of God to where they did not live for God the way that they ought to. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Satan has not changed his plan for that either today. Satan's plan is for you and for me to live like the world, to talk like the world, to look like the world, to act like the world, and to be like the world, so that the world can see no difference between those that know Christ and those who do not know Christ. There needs to be a difference. There is a difference. If you remember, Paul wrote, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Christ does something in a person's life. When he saves us, he makes us to be new creatures in Christ. God's people had got, as I told you last Sunday, they'd gotten complacent. They were used to the blessings of God. They were used to God going in and fighting their battles for them. They were used to the fact that all their good things came from God, and because they were God's chosen people, they just figured they could live any old way they wanted to live. And folks, that's not the way it is. When I got married, I was joined together with my wife. We became one. And you know what that meant? I couldn't go out and look for another date. If I did, I could get shot. All kinds of problems would break out. But you know what? When I got married, marriage changed my wonder. Okay? That love that we had for one another, man, it's grown stronger. We've been married now a little over 42 years. Man, I'm thankful for that. I still love my wife. I love to sit there and hold her hand and walk and talk with her. She fixed dinner last night, and like I said, it was good. But I'll tell you what, I'm surprised the smoke detectors didn't go off last night. Man, it was so hot. And cayenne is not the same as paprika, okay? It's not the same. But listen to me. God's people were to be the examples. They were to set the pace in this new land. They were to show them the difference between good and evil, the holy and the profane. And folks, they didn't do that. And here, the Lord says, because you've done this, you're going into captivity. You're going to be taken captive. They're going to be treated very cruelly. And the next concern was the farther away day of the Lord, which would be an end time event. We're looking at that day falling before us now. Folks, the things that are happening in our world today, everything that's happening in our world today is revolved around that one little place over in the Middle East that everybody wants. Everybody wants that land of Israel. Everybody wants it to be theirs. But in this section of Scripture, we see a reference to a phrase. It's called the day of the Lord. And that phrase is seen probably 20 times or more throughout this single book as you look at it. And so here in verse number 7, Zephaniah calls for silence in the presence of the Lord God while he's trying to convince the people to once again fall in love with the God who so loved them. They were to love him. They were to honor him. They were to respect him. He was the God of their salvation, folks. No other God could bring them out of Egypt and do for them what God had done. No one else could do that. And they had forsaken the God of their salvation. And now, when time comes to paint the picture of God preparing for a, their preparation unto God for a sacrifice, they're invite, it's as if Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonians are invited as guests to see what God's going to do to his people because they turned their backs on God. You know what? When we had to punish our children, when we had to spank them, we would bring them home. I didn't want to have to do that in front of their friends. We did that when we got home. We took care of it. And we tried to help them understand, here's the reason that you're getting punished for this. You didn't obey. You didn't do what we said that you needed to do. And God here was literally embarrassed with his children, the way they were acting. So God now is going to punish his children, not in just privacy, but he's going to punish them before these other wicked nations. And these wicked nations are going to see that God meant business. You know what I think God, his intention was, his desire was for all those others to take note and say, boy, we need to follow after the true God. But they didn't do that either. And here in verse number 8, I believe it is, and going through down verse 13, he reminds the problem, or he reminds the people that the problem that God had with them as a whole began with their own sin and their pride. Now, folks, you think about this. Pride brought Satan down. Pride got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride brought the children of Israel down to the point of punishment from God. And this thing that we see going on in our land today, Pride Month, Pride Week, Pride this, Pride that, it's going to bring our nation to its knees before a living God. The Bible said here, and he's referring here to the princes and the king's children, he said, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. They came to try to impress God. They wanted to make it look like, boy, they were really doing something spiritual. But they weren't. And in verses 9 through 11 here, God was going to punish those who rushed to plunder other people's houses as well. These folks just, man, they were going to plunder. They were going to take whatever they wanted. Kind of reminds me of what we saw in Baltimore. Man, when they were going into stores and houses and stealing stuff, and just during the midst of all these riots and things like this, man, just destroying and taking and looting and plundering people. The Bible said here, even those who become complacent and satisfied with the way things were, who were settled on their lees. Now that word lees actually refers to something here that I never realized it, but it refers to the sediment or the grounds that settle at the bottom of a container in which wine was kept. And it was unwanted because it was very tasteless. It was very bitter, they said. And Webster defined this word as the word ooze. Lees was defined as the ooze, the silt, the sludge, the dross, the slag, the waste, or any other matter that settles to the bottom of a body of liquid. Man, it was nasty. It was something that nobody wanted. And it was as if the people were like a wine that had not been filtered or poured from a vessel to get rid of that bitter impurity that separated from those wines that they were enjoying. It was something that was not good. And the Bible, one Bible commentator said this. He said, the lees are the refuse of the wine. that was stored up with it, and the wine rests, as it were, upon them. And he said, so do men of ease rest in things defiled and defiling. Their riches or their pleasures, which they hoard up, on which they are bent to have, so that they, as one old historian wrote, they lift not their mind to things above, but are darkened with the foulest desires, and are hardened and stiffened in sin. Boy, that's a terrible state to be in. But folks, are we not seeing that in our world today? Are we not seeing that same type attitude with the things of God today? Men are settled to just live in sin and to do all the things that are despised by a holy God and be pleased in doing them. There's no shame in sin anymore. They don't blush when they see all these wicked commercials and things that come on the TV screen anymore. It's sad. And that's a sad description of the hearts of the men that were in the days of Zephaniah. God's people. That's what it was like. But sadder yet is the fact that the hearts of men living today are yet the same. People's hearts have not changed. And the only thing that can change the hearts of men is the God of salvation. They must know. And then if they remain unchanged in their ways of thinking, and if they remain unchanged in the ways that they live their lives, as God diligently searches throughout the land for someone who will turn away from their sin and instead turn their faces unto Him, it's going to be a sad day. Listen, I don't know. I got an email yesterday. It wasn't an email, it was something else, a messenger note. Somebody inviting me to go watch a play from their church. And it was going to be a Christmas play, okay? But it was filled with rock music. It was filled with this fairly vile dancing that they were doing and everything else. And this is a church ministry now, okay? This is a church. And talking about looking to see what the differences are from the Christmas when Christ was born to Christmas today, but how that we can still worship the God through doing all these things. They sent me a little clip of one of the plays that they're going to be doing. I showed it to my wife, and I was just heartbroken, because this person claims to know Christ as her Savior. And there was a day when things like this would not be allowed in a church. I mean, you wouldn't ever see something like this coming in a church. But they don't have any shame with it today. And when I thought about that, that self-satisfying religious do-goodery is what Jesus had the Apostle John to write of to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3. If you'll remember in the earlier chapters, Jesus was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He was there with those churches. And by the time you get down to the church of Laodicea, He's standing outside the church, outside the door, knocking, begging to come in. He's not welcome in the church anymore. The Bible said there in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, the Lord Jesus says to John, He says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What's the Lord Jesus saying? He's saying, man, your actions just make me want to throw up. I just want to spew you out of my mouth. Look at this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zephaniah was trying to get the children of Judah, the children of Israel, the chosen people of God, to see their sin the way that God saw it, and to have a repentant heart, and to repent of that sin. And the sad thing for God's people in Zephaniah's day was that now it was too late to repent. They had turned away their last opportunity to turn back unto the Lord God, and now judgment was coming. And child of God, Conqueror's class member, I'm just asking today, with what we see going on in our land today, how close must we be to the Lord saying, you know what, enough is enough. Judgment's coming down. Judgment's coming. Zephaniah warned the people that God's holy judgment was indeed coming upon them. And he warned them because of their sinful rebellion. He warned them because of their open rebuke toward the things of God. They were stubborn. They become bitter toward God. They didn't want to have anything to do with him now or his word. But not only did he tell them of the judgment was coming through their captivity, but he was telling them there'd be a future judgment that would come. And that's referred to in point number three here as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now looking at these scriptures, I want you to see how Zephaniah gives a description of the day of the Lord. Verses 14 through 16, he said, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high tower. God shows Zephaniah here things to come that were further out in the future, further out in the days coming after their Babylonian captivity. But in these verses, Zephaniah describes some things. He speaks of the end time day of the Lord, which is called here the great day of the Lord. And he specifically speaks of that reality of the wrath of God that's going to be leashed out upon this world. And you know what? When the church is taken out and God brings his judgment down upon this world, the world has never seen anything like what's going to happen. Folks have asked me, are we as Christians going to go through this thing? No, we're not going to go through this. If we know Christ as our Savior, we're not going to go through this. If you'll remember, last Sunday night, Pastor preached about God with Abraham and Lot. And he was looking for 50 righteous people, just 50, to spare the whole city. But he couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. And before he sent the judgment of God down, he took Lot and his family out. And folks, you go all the way back to the days of the flood. Before God sent the judgment down, what did he do with Noah and his family? He brought them into the ark. He said, come thou into the ark. For yet seven days, and I will send the flood. He gave an opportunity for no one, for everyone that had not heard that judgment was coming. And then God sealed that door, and he sent the judgment. And folks, there is coming a day in this world when the wrath of God will come upon this world. And those men that have mocked God, they've snubbed their noses at God, they've defiled the temple of God, both bodily and the physical temple. There's coming a day when God's wrath is going to be unleashed. And boy, I just thank God that I'm saved. And you should too. Listen, if we fail to reach the lost while we have the opportunity to do so, every person that you know that's lost, every person that has rejected the Word of God, every person that has not been saved, they're going to go through that great tribulation time. And folks, you and I need to get busy today letting them know there's a way to escape that judgment. And it's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And notice what he tells them here in verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. How many times have you heard people say, well, I can pay my way out. I had a young man. He was Catholic. And he told me, he said, I don't have to get saved. I don't have to do what you say the Bible says do. I said, what are you talking about? He said, if I go to hell, it's not a problem. My family can get me out. They've got lots of money. And they can pay to get me out. It's not going to be a... And that young man just mocked at the words I spoke to him about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, oh, I'm going to get out. It's not a problem. I can live my life the way I want to live it. And my parents, they can get me out. God says, neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Can you imagine the judgment of God that's going to come upon these people? But then in chapter number 2, Zephaniah gives yet one more call to the people of God to repent of their sin. He gives yet another call to repentance. And look what he said in verses 1 through 3, chapter number 2. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, all nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. He gives one more call to the nation that he so dearly loves to repent before it is eternally too late. Folks, this is the cry we need to be crying today in our nation. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Seek the Lord and his righteousness, not your own. Humble your hearts in the sight of Almighty God. If you remember, God did the same thing with Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, before he sent the flood to destroy the earth, God did the same thing for Lot and his family in Genesis chapter 9 before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen, folks, God is doing the same thing today before his church is called out and his wrath comes down. While you and I have the opportunity, we need to encourage folks to come to the Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12 says this, "And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why? Why would they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected it. They turned it aside. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they should might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, listen, hell is real. Judgment that is coming is real. And you and I today, we need to gather ourselves together in the power and the boldness of Christ and witness to folks while there's still time to do it. Your loved ones need to be saved. Folks need to heed God's call for repentance. They need to take heed before it's eternally too late. But you know what? The Apostle Paul asks a question. In Romans chapter 10, he asked this question. He said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" One to declare the message of the gospel. How are they going to hear it without somebody telling them? Folks, this is a serious thing with God. God is going to hold this generation of Christians accountable for this generation of sinners. And folks, we need to take heed of that call today. We need to take heed today. Listen, to not be a faithful witness for Christ is not, it's not just a sin. It's, you could consider it spiritual murders. We're letting folks die and go to hell. And the only thing that's going to make a difference is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was preaching on Wednesday at the nursing home. When I got there, I was told that one of the ladies that I'd been to visit just 2 weeks prior to that died the day before I got there. She died before I came to preach on Wednesday. And I thought to myself, I am so thankful that I was able to go to her and share the message of the gospel with her before it was eternally too late. Her son, on the Sunday before I preached on that Wednesday and went to her and led her to Christ that later that night, her son had been to the chaplain at that nursing home and said, "My mother is dying and she needs to know Christ. Would you please go by and share the message of the gospel with her so she could be saved?" And this son told me this face to face. And he said, when the chaplain looked up at him, he said, "I don't do that. I don't do that." And when that man came to me, I was getting ready to preach on that Wednesday afternoon at the nursing home. He came in. I'd never seen him before. He came up to me. He said, "I need to speak with you." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Is it something I've done wrong here or what is this?" He said, "No, I need your help with something. But," he said, "I want to sit and listen to your preaching before I tell you what it is." So I went ahead and I led the singing. I did the message. I did a little story that day that illustrated the message I was trying to tell and gave the plan of salvation. And he came to me as soon as we were done, and he told me about what had happened with the chaplain that Sunday before this Wednesday. And he said, "Would you be willing to come and tell my mother how to go to heaven? She's not got much longer." And I said, "I'll be glad to." And I went down to that room, and he brought me in, and she could not speak. She couldn't open her eyes. I took her by the hand and held her hand, and she couldn't even tighten the grip on my hand. And he said, now she was listening, and she was kind of responding earlier, but I don't know what she can hear. I don't know what she understands. But would you at least tell her? And so I gave her the message of the gospel. And I prayed with her. And I told her, I said, "You know, I can't save you. I can't do that. You have to make a choice what you're going to do with the Lord Jesus." And I called her name and I said, "If you can hear me, please, if you can hear me, would you please take time right now to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you before it's eternally too late?" And I led her in the sinner's prayer and encouraged her to ask Christ to come to her heart and save her. Now, there was no response on her face. There was no response with her lips. She didn't blink her eyes, didn't grip my hand. I said, "But if there's just some way you could let me know, did you ask Christ to come in my heart? Squeeze my hand, something just to let me know." And I didn't feel anything there, didn't see any response. And all of a sudden, her daughter said, "Wait, look, she's kicking her feet. She's moving her feet." Now, whether that meant she trusted Christ as her Savior, I do not know. I do not know. But 2 days later, she passed away and entered into eternity. Her son came to church and visited here with me just the other Sunday. And he came to me and thanked me. He said, "Thank you for going by and telling my mother." He said, "I don't know if she trusted Christ or not, but you gave her the gospel." And he said, whether that response was her trying to say, "Yes, I've asked Christ come in my heart," we don't know. We'll not know until we get to heaven. But folks, listen to me today. You and I are going to be held responsible for these people around us. I want to do everything I can do to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every person we can while we can. And Zephaniah gave a call of repentance to the people of his day. And even so, you and I have been commanded to do the same thing in our world today. We're to go into our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we're to do that before it's eternally too late, because the day of God's wrath is coming upon this earth. And in that day, it's going to be a sad day for many folks who have rejected Christ as their Savior. Well, he gets in to Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And here we see the judgment that's coming upon the nations that were surrounding Judah as well. And next week we'll look at that section, okay? I'm sorry, I just can't get through it all. But I want you to understand something. Folks, the day of God's wrath is at hand. You and I need to take serving the Lord seriously in our Christian lives from day to day. We need to reach our lost world while we can. And we need to do it before the Lord returns again. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today with all my heart. You know I do. And Lord, I don't know in this room today how many folks are truly trying to live for you and who's making a show. That's not for me to figure out. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. And help us, Lord, to realize that we don't come to church to put on a show, but we come to learn from the Word of God, how that we can live for you and how we can be strengthened by your Word from day to day, so that when we go out into the world, God, we can be light in a dark world of sin. Help us, oh God, today to take the matter of winning folks to Christ and witnessing for you seriously in all that we do. Lord, you're going to hold us accountable for this lost world around us. And God, we want to be found faithful to serve you while we can. And Lord, I pray that if there be someone today that's listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, God, you would convict their heart of their sin and help them, Lord, to be willing to repent of that sin and turn unto you and be saved even today before it's eternally too late. God bless, please. God bless Matthews today as he stands to preach in Pastor's stead. I pray, God, that you'll give him the words that we need to hear, and help us, Lord, today to gain a love for you, that we will live for you and serve you until the day that you come and get us and call us home. And God, we'll thank you for what you do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being with us, okay?